Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they are blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Schmedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
I saw one of the best Facebook posts I've seen in a long time. I think it was
You were on my Facebook?
No, I was not on your Facebook. All I see is Mitch Schmedley, Schmedley Plumbing, Mitch Schmedley, Schmedley Plumbing. That's not true. I
post a lot.
It was Sunday, and it just said, weather, are you drunk? That's all it said. Because Friday, it was 77, snowed Saturday.
Yeah.
And like blizzard warning, dust bowl.
Yeah.
Dude, it's supposed to do it again tomorrow.
Yeah, I know.
Today's 75. Tomorrow, it's supposed to be like 30 at night and snow.
Yeah, we had, what, 80 on Thursday, 70-mile-an-hour winds Friday. It snowed Saturday night.
Yeah.
It's 70 right now.
It's supposed to be like 38
and it's
going to
be snowing again tomorrow.
I don't believe in the whole...
Go home, whether you're drunk.
That's literally what it said. I believe in climate change because I think the world is just getting warmer. And now I do believe that we have sped up the process a little bit. But irregardless... whether you're, you know, super apolitical or whatever, climate change, this, that, it's getting worse. Like the extreme swings are, man, we're talking.
Well, here's the bullshit part with climate change.
It's crazy.
Your government will tell you that with enough money, we can fix this.
Yeah, we can fix it all. Yeah, you can't. You can't fix shit. Just
if
move
you give
somewhere
your government enough money,
so
then those carbon emissions don't actually hit the atmosphere. Yeah. It's like bullshit.
I love the companies that are, I think this may have been on 60 Minutes a while back, but all these companies are like, well, we're net zero. And what they mean by net zero is
I've bought enough carbon credits.
Bought enough carbon credits to plant trees, but that doesn't help with the air pollution.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it does. It sucks the bad stuff. Okay. It pulls CO out and produces oxygen, yes. But all the other bullshit you're throwing up there is still going up. Well, we're net zero.
Yeah.
You got the hands on their hips. We're net zero.
Pretty sure trees don't get rid of carcinogens.
I'm pretty sure the acid rain is still going to eat those trees. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
But it has been. The weather's been shit. I've been wanting to go fishing, like get out and do stuff, and it's like, you just can't do it.
We've already been on the boat twice.
We were
in hoodies both times, but...
When Danielle's wearing sweatpants, a hooded sweatshirt, and socks, like, that's not boat weather.
No, it was not boat weather.
No.
We were just trying to get the kinks out, and...
You just had the itch. You're like, I want to get out.
Yeah, some of it's the itch, but some of it's like, make sure that everything's good and ready for when season comes around.
I do it to Joey every spring. Like, usually by now, we've been two or three times crappie fishing, and every time he's like... I don't know how you let me talk me into this stuff. It's freezing out here. We're not catching any fish, but it's because I got the itch. I'm like, hey, let's go. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Like the elbow. It's going to be fantastic. It's like, get out there and it sucks ass.
It's like deer hunting in 8-degree weather.
Yeah.
Like, ain't nobody's having fun at that.
They're going to be moving today. I'm going out. And then the whole time you're sitting there like this. I'm a dipshit.
The only thing moving right now is me.
Yeah.
Because I'm shivering.
It's so freaking cold. Yeah. It's the same thing as when you go deer hunting on like September 16th. You're like, it's going to be great. And you're just picking ticks and mosquitoes off you. It's so woolly out. You can't see a deer. Even if one came by, you're like, yeah, I'm going. Yeah. Halfway through, I'm an idiot.
Did you see a deer? It was either a deer or a squirrel. My shooting lane's kind of full right now.
Yeah. No shit.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I am ready for warm weather, though.
Yeah.
Be nice.
Yeah.
Get out and do some stuff.
I'm ready for some warmth, too.
I got the mower out the other day just to get it out and fire it up, you know?
Yep.
And up by the house, it grows, you know, pretty fast. Dogs are shitting up there and everything. So I mowed like 4 stripes. It's like, okay, all right. Yeah, I feel good. And I'm parking this thing. I'm done.
Yeah, Mason. So Mason got his new truck, new to him. It's a 02 F-150.
You guys still working on that thing?
Yes.
Ugh,
so we bought it. It only has 86,000 miles on it.
Did it sit a lot? Is that the issue? Is that why you're having trouble with it?
I don't know. And there's a weird thing with the history on it.
Oh, is this the one?
It
it's got like you look at the mileage history in the Carfax and it's like 50,000 and then 60,000 and then 70 something thousand and then 80,000.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it goes to like 190,000 miles for like three ticks on the Carfax thing.
What's this time span over it? Do you remember?
7-8 months.
Oh,
so and then all of a sudden it jumps right back down to in line and it's got 86 now. And so we think like,
that's weird.
There's no way somebody could put 100,000 miles on a car in 7 months.
I mean, you could, but you'd literally be on the road the whole time.
Yeah.
It'd be almost impossible.
We're thinking it's got to be some fat-fingered, like they got the VIN mixed up with some other van.
Or they thought there was a one and there wasn't a one.
Maybe, but it doesn't jump by, it's not like it goes 72,000 and then 174,000.
Oh.
It's like 72,000 and then like 150 and then 170 and then 180 and then it jumps right back down to where the odometer currently is. And like we hook it up to cuz it's got a couple of codes that it's throwing, so we hook it up to an OBD2 meter.
Yeah.
And the OBD2 will tell you it's 86,000 miles, like it's,
oh really?
Yeah. And so like there's no
You can't roll back the computer, can you?
No.
I mean, you can crack open the dash and roll that back, but I wouldn't think you could roll even back the computer.
It's digital on the dash, so I don't even think you can do that.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So probably is. It's not like my Camaro.
Yeah.
That odometer doesn't work because the speedometer doesn't work.
Yeah.
And so nothing's working.
Nothing's working.
But I actually, so.
It's frozen in time.
It's frozen in time. It says it's got like 70,000. I'm sure that's like 570. Who knows? But I don't have, so I haven't bought a truck yet. I finally got my check and all that. I'm waiting for my check to clear. So yesterday, I had to take Layla to soccer and I'd been borrowing my brother's car. Mm-hmm. Well, he never emailed me back, never texted me, nothing. I was like, man, what the? Fuck it. So I took the Camaro. Took the 68 to her soccer practice last night, parked it out away from all the cars. All these dads are like walking around it.
Oh, yeah.
And it makes me nervous because I'm like a quarter mile away from the car. I can barely see it. And I'm like, these motherfuckers are going to steal my shit.
Yeah.
They're going to steal my shit. I know they're going to steal it. Obviously, they're just looking, you know. But it just, every time I take it anywhere, I'm nervous.
Yeah.
It just, I got to get over it. I need an alarm on it. The problem is, like, you start that thing with a screwdriver.
I got an alarm guy.
Do I really want to put an alarm on a car like that?
I don't know. It's all up to you.
Like if I get a supercar or something cool, like it's going to have one on it. You know, no big deal. They can still.
You don't hear about supercars getting stolen.
Not very often. No.
So, like, I mean, there's not very much of them.
Well, people don't leave them in the Walmart fucking parking lot either.
Well, and it's not a Dodge.
That's true.
It's not a Scat Pack, that's, Hellcat.
That you can just walk up to and pack. Steal.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little different.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I drove that yesterday. I got to get that. I got to get a truck. Got to. I couldn't go fishing if I wanted to. I'd have to call you and beg to take the Lightning, which I wouldn't have to beg. You'd let me take it, but you'd be like, oh, got to take the Lightning. All that making fun of me. I don't want to do that. I don't want to eat my words.
The Lightning's getting ready to become weekend. I'm going to set it out for the guys to use on the weekend as their leisure. Like, you just don't want to drive your car for the weekend? Take the Lightning. You're moving? Take the Lightning. You literally just don't have a reason to take it, but just want to take it? Take it.
I like the idea.
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea. I think you're opening up a can of worms. But
yeah, maybe. We'll see. No, I've already let a couple of guys borrow it.
Of course. So. Because it's not just a fucking free truck. Right. Now that it's like the door, like, take it, do whatever you want. They're going to be like, okay.
Well, it's branded, so you got to drive appropriately.
Let's go race this motherfucker.
Yeah, you got to drive appropriately. It's got a big old dent or a big old scratch in the back bumper now. I don't know where that came from. So,
ooh.
Yeah, I think one of the neighborhood kids might have hit it with their bicycle.
Oh, you've been parking in the street, haven't you?
It's been in the street because Mason's truck's been in the garage. Yeah. So, it's so funny. My son buys this clunker truck for his first car, and it's in the garage, and my Ford Lightning's in the driveway because his clunker truck is leaking transmission fluid right now, and I don't want that leaking all over the driveway or the street in front of my house. So,
oh my God.
I told him it can't come out of the garage until we fix that.
Have you talked to your dad lately?
A little bit.
I guarantee he's thinking the exact, right now he's like, yeah, you motherfuckers used to do that at my house.
Oh, yeah.
We would have all the cars pulled in Mitch's driveway, and we'd be working on it. Under the front end, be leaking oil everywhere, transmission fluid. Like, I need some transmission. Why? Well, it's just leaking out. I'm out.
Yeah.
We need some power steering. And there'd just be shit everywhere.
Stains everywhere.
Oh, my God. Yep. You know, I never realized, it's funny, when you're a kid and growing up, you don't notice these things, like how much patience your parents probably had to have.
Yeah.
Between you and your brother, and then your house was the go-to.
Yeah, it was the party house.
It wasn't, I'm just saying, after school every day, it was like, we're going over to Mitch's. What are you going to do? We're going to watch Jerry Springer and drink his dad's rum. Like, you know, it just...
Drink his dad's rum.
That's just, you know, that's what we're going to do. And they never complained. They never said, get out. Like, they'd come home and they'd be like, David, you want to eat? You want to stay here?
You hungry?
Yeah. My house sucks.
Well, we do the same thing. Like, Grant and all of his buddies were over on Sunday. I took them to your dad's place to go fishing. And then I invited everybody. I'm like, you guys want to come over to it's spring break. You guys want to come over to the house and hang out tonight? And they were like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure.
So I bring them home, and I warn the wife. I'm like, hey, we're coming home heavy, two kids.
And only two. That's not bad.
Yeah, only two. And so we're home for like an hour, and I'm like, it's dinner time. We got to feed these kids. And Danielle's like, oh, yeah, if they're here, I guess we have to feed them.
Dude, order a pizza.
Well, we just they're kids. McDonald's.
Oh, so, ugh, disgusting. Yeah. Disgusting.
They get 10 chicken nuggets and fries and a Coke.
Yeah. We were talking earlier today about, I'm glad I don't have two boys, because yours are chaos. You and your brother were chaos. And then I got to thinking about it, like right after we talked about that, Layla had two of her friends over. This was like last fall, and it's snowing out, it's cold, it's all this, blah, blah, blah. They're in my mule, the Yamaha mule, 4010, going as fast as they can, trying to hit bumps so hard that it flips one of them out of the back.
Yeah.
Like, there's shit everywhere, because I usually get wood in it. You know, there's wood all over the yard, everywhere, and I'm just thinking, what the fuck is going on out here? Like, I go out there, I'm like, what are you guys doing? Yeah, we're trying to jump it. What do you mean you're trying to jump it? We're trying to get some air. No. Okay. In the house. Stop.
Yeah.
But it's like, I can't even imagine, dude.
Yeah.
She's a 12-year-old girl and they're doing that shit.
Well, Grant had all his buddies over and I smell something. It was warm on Sunday and I'm like,
something's on fire.
Smell something burning. Look out in the backyard. There's a big old fire. Thankfully, they were in the fire pit. But
I was going to say, you have the fire. Were they in the fire pit?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Used about every ounce of lighter fluid I have on property to you know how boys are, squeeze it in the fire. So finally, I open the window and I'm like, how about you walk around the yard and pick up sticks if you're going to have a fire? Like, give me some good out of this.
Help me
out. You already
out.
Cost me $12 in lighter fluid. At least pick the sticks up out of the yard.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
Yep. So today,
what do you want to talk about today, buddy?
I want to talk about leading with value. And if you're in the service industry at all, whether you're a service tech, whether you own a business, whether you're anywhere in the service industry, if you serve others, it's your job to lead with value. And those who lead with value will be more successful than those who don't.
Those that lead with value are usually the best salesmen.
Yeah.
And they're not salesy.
Yeah. Right. And so how this works is if you have a guest over at your house, what are some of the normal things you do with a guest? Can I get you a glass of water? Would you like to find a place to sit?
Yeah.
You're being accommodating.
Yeah,
to your guest,
Janine's
right?
getting out the towels and the special soaps and the whole bathroom is set up for them, candles out, it's all nice. I'm like, why am I normally living in a slum hole? Like, hell?
Yeah.
It's all nice. You know, bed's made, pillows are out.
Like, we do this all the time, right? When our kids have friends over, I make sure to introduce myself, to chat with the friends, to ask them how their day's going. I don't want to be that awkward dad, right? I want to be that, like, I want the kids to leave here going, you know, Grant or Mason, your dad's pretty cool.
You want them to feel comfortable and not threatened when they're here. Of course. Yeah.
And
last time I was here, I went downstairs and Hannah and Grant were making cookies in the kitchen. I'd say they feel pretty comfortable when they're here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grant's friend down the street, they were making.
Yeah, they were having a great time.
Those cookies, by the way, you didn't have one, did you?
No.
Okay.
They were in the midst of making them, and I'm going to be honest, they looked sketchy.
Yeah.
So I said, I'll see you guys later.
It's a TikTok recipe.
Ooh.
It's like cardboard. with like chocolate morsels in there. But anyway,
it did not look good.
They had fun making them.
That's all that matters.
But so yeah, like anytime you're around anybody new, you're leading with value in the form of service, right? And so like when you go to a customer's house, you got to lead with value. And you got to be willing to give a little before you can expect the customer to give a little.
Yeah, you have to ingratiate yourself to them.
Yeah.
Hey boys and girls, it's David. Mitch and I started TradeWinds to help trades professionals start their business, or if they've already started, to get it to a healthy and profitable level. It's training, it's coaching, it's mentoring, all in one. Click on the link in the description to find out a little bit more. There's a promotional video you can watch when you go to the website. If you fill out the contact form, I'll even make Mitch call you.
Yeah.
And so, like we have a sales process in our plumbing company that is all about leading with value. We have bullet points of things that we have to talk about in a certain order. It's not a script, but in a certain order before we present options and before we present pricing, all of these bullet points need to be met. Yeah. And when those bullet points are met, our sales are amazing. And when those bullet points aren't met, our sales flatline.
Do you, when guys are in a rut, do you bring up the process and say, hey, are you doing all these things?
Absolutely.
Is that how you handle it?
And the reason we lead with those bullet points is those bullet points establish the value of using our company. So let me give you a real life example of this. We have in our company what we call the 10,000 hour guarantee. That means that when you order a service call from Smedley Plumbing, you're going to get a plumber out to your house that has a minimum of 10,000 hours of experience. Nobody else in the region I know does that, and I feel nobody else in the nation does that.
No, but it's like, could you imagine having 15 employees and having to give that guarantee?
Right.
I don't think you could do it.
It gets harder the bigger you get, for sure.
Yeah, it'd be very hard.
But
if you could do it at 15 employees, I mean, holy shit.
Yeah. And so the reason we do that is because your customer is expecting for you to come out and solve the problem on the first visit. They're expecting for you to be very efficient with their money. They're expecting to have you know the answers and be equipped to solve the problem like in your truck stock and all of that, right? And so the 10,000-hour guarantee is a subliminal value add to the customer that basically says we're going to do all of that because we care about this small thing called experience.
Yeah.
Right? Another step in our sales process, we have the community initiative program, we call it the hashtag Family First program. And what that is we find people in the community that have necessary plumbing repair needs and no way to afford them. And we put them on our schedules on the first business day of every month. And we take care of those plumbing repairs absolutely free of charge. And the only way people know about that program is if they've seen it on our website or if we tell our customers about it. And so part of our sales process, before we present options in the diagnostic phase, we need to talk to the customer about our Family First program. And part of the reason is because we want people to know about the program. The other part of the reason is undoubtedly the moment we get to price, that customer will be shocked with the price. Customers are always shocked with the price.
Well, it's because you don't have a plumber out every day.
Right.
You know?
And your plumbing issue might be different than your neighbor's. Your neighbor may have had a clogged drain and they had it fixed for $300 and you have a clogged drain and it's costing you $3,000.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
house is different.
Yeah, you don't know the details. It's the same thing as people that don't buy cars every 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, oh, I only get one every 10 years and 10 years goes by and they go out there and the same truck that cost them $25 is now $60 and you're like, what the hell happened?
Right.
Same thing.
Or you know, everyone likes to, like the high-end trucks right now, the Platinums and Denalis and the top...
Oh yeah,
packages. You know they're $100,000.
Yeah, they're $75,000 to $100,000.
And everyone's like, man, you can't buy a truck for $100,000 these days. And it's
like, yes, you can.
But not in the nice, desirable trim levels, right?
Yeah.
And so everybody likes to gripe about price. It's just our nature. It doesn't mean we're actually believing the words we're saying. It's just it's an automatic position that we take.
It's a go to.
Yeah. It's no different than when you're walking on a used car lot and the sales guy comes and approaches you. You have any questions? What everyone say? No, I'm just looking. Right? they probably have questions.
Yeah.
It's just their natural instinct to say, no, I'm just looking.
Well, they just don't want to talk to you
because
you're a fucking greasy salesman. That's why. I went yesterday to look at a truck and I I was like, yeah, I want to know this. I want to know this. I want to know this.
Right.
I mean, but I'm just, that's how I am.
Yeah. But let's take that exact same scenario and flip it around and lead with value. Same sales guy. Instead of saying, hey, do you have any questions I can answer for you? Because you know what the answer is going to be.
Yeah.
It's going to be like, you guys got time for a test drive? I'm bored as hell. You guys are the first people on the lot in 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Let's go for a drive.
Yeah. You know what it's like in that office? It's awful.
Yeah.
Can we do something?
Yeah. Like,
can I just at least, can you help me cure my boredom?
Yeah.
Can I pull it out and just like, you can look at it?
Yeah.
Like,
let me go get the keys to whatever one you want.
Give me something.
And no, I don't have to get approval from my manager. And no, like none of this typical salesy crap.
Yeah.
Like, can I just be your buddy for an hour?
Yeah.
And they're going to get a more welcome reception, right? They're leading with value.
Yeah.
They're not leading with the intention of making a sale.
Yeah.
Right? And so we have all of those steps in our process because undoubtedly, when we get to the part where we're going to present options and pricing and everything else, the customer will be shocked by the price. They always are. And it doesn't matter what your price is.
No, we've talked about this a lot.
Yeah. You could be a $100 an hour plumber and the customer's going to go, damn, that's expensive.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You could be a $400 an hour plumber and the customer's going to say, damn, that's expensive. Go ahead. That's just what they do. However, there is a point where you're going to cross it. And if you don't have enough value stacked up in front of that price presentation, the customer will say no. They will absolutely say no.
Yeah, you're hedging your bets
when
you introduce value and you become their quote-unquote friend, you know, or someone that they feel comfortable talking to. You're hedging your bets.
Yeah. And the small-minded companies and the companies that don't go anywhere are the companies that are like, oh, you got to pay me for that information. You got to pay me to come out to your house. You got to pay me to tell you what's wrong, and you got to pay me to fix it. The good companies that can actually understand marketing and understand how to get in front of a lot of customers, they'll give you the basic information for free.
Yeah.
They don't even make you come out for a service call for it. They'll give it to you on the website.
Yeah.
Hey, here's 10 things you can do to extend the life of your furnace. Right? The reason why...
Don't call Dave. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
The reason why they do that is they're leading with value. In other words, if I call three companies, let's say my AC is not working. First warm day of the year, I call three different companies, my AC is not working. And the first two companies are like, we can get out there, but we're 3 days out because we're booked. Everyone's calling in. And the third company is like, we'll get you on the schedule. We can get out there in 2 days. In the meantime, I'm going to email you a list of the top 10 things to check for an AC that's not working.
Yeah, or talk about it over the phone. Have you checked this?
Well,
have you checked this?
Yeah, and maybe your CSR is not going to do that, but you at least grab their email and send them a list, right?
Yeah.
Now, the chances are those 10 things probably aren't going to fix it.
Nah.
However,
that
customer is a lot more likely to go with you, stay with you, stay on your schedule, and be happy with your service because you led with value. And you tried to take, like, from the business aspect, those 10 things you're going to email them, those 10 things are basic things that you almost hate charging for anyway.
Yeah, it's going to be check your filter, check your breaker.
As an HVAC guy.
Is your egg oil frozen?
Yeah. As an HVAC guy, if you show up to a non-working AC and the filter is clogged, you have a really hard, like, that's a waste of a service call. You have a really hard time making money.
Yeah,
on a service call where you're swapping out a 25 by 1 filter.
Yeah. Usually that is the coil's frozen up or it's locked out.
Yeah. And so.
I mean, it's like I can stand here and thaw it out if you want.
Yeah.
You know, but you're right. That's a tough one. Capacitors and that are both tough ones.
Yeah.
It's like the flapper.
Well, essentially, you know, a capacitor, though, you still need a tool to check it and you still need experience to replace it.
Yeah.
A filter is a DIY thing. A capacitor is an advanced DIY thing. Way advanced.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but if you give them the 10 basic things to check, make sure your batteries and your thermostat are good, make sure that your thermostat didn't need reset, make sure you didn't have a power outage and it lost time and it thinks it's middle of the night and so it's not working, you know, like, you know, you go through some basic things
it's to establish, like you said, value, but it's to establish trust too.
Exactly.
Trust and value are almost interchangeable.
Yes. Yeah,
100%.
And so that customer will more than likely spend more money with your tech than they would have with the other companies, and that customer will have a better experience with your company because you led with value. And the selfish guys and the stingy guys try to act like, oh, that's proprietary information that took me years to learn. I'm not giving that away.
Yeah.
Well, guess what, dipshit? They can find all that information for free.
On Google.
On Google in like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You're not giving them anything they already don't have access to, right?
Yeah.
And
you're just streamlining the process to build value.
Right.
And you're right. I hate those older guys. And I say that. We're getting to be those older guys that are just like, I went to school for 6 years and fuck those customers. And it's just, they have a bad attitude in general when it comes to service. And that's why they usually are the shittiest salesmen too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, I've been doing this for 37 years. Okay. It's just you.
Yeah.
You know why? Because no one wants to fucking either work for you,
yeah,
or buy extra from you. Like, you're just a crotchety old motherfucker that doesn't want to live in the now.
Yeah.
And they're
yeah.
everywhere, man. They're yeah. everywhere.
There's a plumbing sales trainer by the name of Chris Fresh. And he has a business called the Plumbing Sales Coach. And he teaches plumbing companies how to sell better, right? And he's a very funny guy, and he's got a video out where he plays the stereotypical. He's got several videos where he plays the stereotypical plumbers in companies, right? And he's got one video where he plays the stereotypical, like, selling plumber that's like above everybody else. They're entitled.
Oh, okay.
And so
I don't know who this is, but I've seen some of those videos. They're pretty funny.
Yeah. And so this guy, like, he plays both parts. Yeah. There's a lot of these
switches back and forth.
Yeah, yeah. He changed clothes and everything else. But still,
those are good.
he pretends that he's the sales manager and a sales guy, and they're sitting across from each other at a desk.
And sales manager and sales guy.
Yeah.
Okay, so no customer.
No customer.
Okay.
He's just
all right. Give
he's
it to me.
Internal.
Never seen this one.
And so here he is as the sales manager, and he's like, "Hey, Chris, I got a great call for you to run. Customer wants a tankless water heater." And it looks like they've already gotten three other prices, and all those other prices are $10,000. And so if we can come in anything under 10, we're going to get the job. And he's already gone on the internet and already approved for the financing.
This is the easiest call you'll ever run.
And he's already got gas in the house. And so we need to go run this call. Well, then he plays the egotistical sales guy that doesn't lead with value. He's like, "Hold on, wait a minute. You want me to drive all the way to this customer's house with no promises and no guarantees? And yeah, their credit's pre-approved, but how do I know it's actually approved?"
Yeah.
And okay, so if the other companies have all bid 10 grand, this tankless is going to be a bitch. You want me to install a tankless, a bitch of a tankless? and I mean, at that price, that's going to be a hard install. Like, I'm going to need help. And
yeah, without even seeing it.
I mean, it's already Tuesday. When are we going to get this in? It's Tuesday. The week's already almost over. And another, like,
that's good.
Like, obviously, he's being facetious with the video.
But dude, that's how guys are.
You get these guys that perform decently in sales, and this is what happens. You get a guy that performs decently in sales accidentally, and he lets it go to his head, and he thinks he's good.
Yeah.
But then
he's been teed up for fucking 3 weeks.
Right. Yeah. And whether it's been teed up on purpose or just like some sales are lay down sales.
Yeah. Sometimes you just have a string of 3 months where it's like, man, I could sell, I can sell anything right now. And it's just because those people were receptive.
Some customers, because the business led with value in their marketing and in their branding and in their presentation and everything
they
else.
They were half sold before you got there.
And you get in there and tell them you need a new water heater and they're like, okay. And it's the easiest sale ever, right?
Yeah.
And so here's your indicator of a bad sales guy. They brag about those, but then whenever they don't make the sale, it's nothing about them.
Yeah,
our price is too high.
Complain.
He didn't like our schedule. He didn't like this. He didn't like this brand of that or whatever, right? And it's like, hold on.
Yeah.
You can't brag about how awesome of a
You can't have it both ways, dude. You can't have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah, you can't brag about how awesome of a sales guy you are, and then the moment you run into any challenges,
you just bitch and moan,
deny
and fold up.
Accountability, right?
Yeah.
And so that's usually your indicator of a sales guy that's not leading with value. Okay. Another way that this happens, a lot of the people that listen to this show may pay on commission. or they may pay on some kind of a performance incentive.
If you're not, you need to look into it.
You need to.
I mean, come on.
But guys that don't know how to lead with value, like in our company, it's an $89 service charge to show up and diagnose what's wrong.
Yeah.
You'll have guys in our company, and this happens in the commission-based sales world, and it's like my guys aren't paid on percentage commission, but they are paid rate. It's a flat rate commission.
Yeah.
But if it's Thursday, Friday in the week, and they've had a pretty poor week,
they sell all of a sudden, don't they?
Well, they start deviating from the process, and they don't lead with value. Right?
Trying to swing hard.
And so what happens is they'll be like, okay, it was the 89 to show up, but if you want me to look at why your tankless water heater's not working, it's a diagnostic fee of $249.
But if they've had a kick-ass week,
then they go ahead and pull the cover off and do a high-level overview without charging that diagnostic.
Yeah.
Right? And because you're leading with price commitments and price conditioning versus value...
Yeah,
your customer is immediately resistant to all price at that point.
Those walls go up.
The walls,
instantaneous.
Yeah, and so then your customer's questioning. Wait a minute, the girl on the phone says it was $89 to show up and diagnose what's wrong, and now you're telling me it's $89 just to ring the doorbell, and if you have to get even one tool out of your truck, there's a diagnostic charge. So what is it, right?
Yeah.
And it's because the sales guy's deviating from the process of leading with value.
Yeah.
Right. And
when you don't lead with value, just to your point there, when you create doubt, that's the immediate trigger for customers.
The wall goes up.
The wall, if there is any doubt in the professionalism or expertise or, you know, trust that they've already built with them, it's all shattered.
Yep.
Instantly. That's all it takes. That one little bitty shred of doubt is all it takes to I don't want to say sabotage your sale, but that's what I'm going to say, to sabotage your sale. That just that little bit of doubt. That's all it takes.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't take much at all.
No.
Right? Your Google reviews can help. And if you don't have a lot of Google reviews, then you have an uphill climb for sure, because that's a little bit of a surety that they don't have.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that trust lasts longer.
Yeah. And so leading with value is always a great way to start a phenomenal relationship, right? The moment you tell your customer that I'm only here if you're paying the bill is the moment your customer puts up walls and starts having friction. And so I want to, like, yesterday, I'm up here in the office working, and my wife's answering phones, and she comes up and passes me this note right here. And
let me see it.
The note says a guy's name. It says Charleston, South Carolina. It's got his business name. It's got his phone number. And he's got questions about sump pump stuff.
Okay.
And he found us on YouTube.
Smedley Plumbing.
He found Smedley Plumbing on YouTube.
Not the Void.
Yep. And we have a couple of videos for how to install sump pumps and sump pits and everything else. And he's paid a plumber to install a sump pit at his place. They have not poured the concrete back, but every time it rains, the sump pit heaves up out of the ground.
Yeah, so he doesn't have a bunch of holes.
He didn't have enough holes in it.
Yeah.
Or any.
Yeah.
Right? And so...
how about that for an HVAC check?
And so I already knew what was happening whenever he, like, you know, the note says sump pump basin keeps floating up a couple of inches every time it rains. And so...
yeah, you knew instantly.
So Danielle teed me up well, led with value, said he's busy in meetings all morning. It'll probably be this afternoon. So I call him back yesterday afternoon. And he didn't answer. So I sent him a text and I say, I don't know if this phone can get texts. This is Smedley Plumbing. You found us on YouTube. You called us with a question. So he calls right back. And he was like, wow, I'm really surprised you actually called back. You're this guy that I've seen on YouTube. I'm really surprised you called back. I'm like, well, YouTubers are like real people too. You know?
Yeah, I love how it's everyone's on a pedestal. It's like, no, we're just a couple jackasses.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, with the balls to put our shit out there on YouTube.
Yeah.
But I said, I got your message and everything else. You know, it sounds like they didn't drill enough holes in it. Shoot me some pictures of what you got going on and all this stuff. And he's like, well, first of all, like, I'm a business owner. I know your time's valuable. I don't expect you to take my call for free. Like, I'm going to Venmo you, PayPal you something, and I'm going to pay you for this.
You're
and
like,
I'm like,
dude, let's talk first.
I'm like, let's just have a conversation. And so he sends me a couple pictures and I'm like, yeah, they had holes around the top part of it. They didn't have any holes
in the bottom.
And I said, you need to drill a lot more holes in there. And
hopefully it's graveled in, so it's not filled with mud after that. But
well, he's watched the videos and everything else. And so I told him, like, you want 4 to 6 inches of space between the dirt and the pit. You want to fill that annular space with gravel. And
annular space. Nice, yeah. Buddy. Nice.
You want to have holes, 3/8 of an inch holes, 2 inches apart in that pit. That pit's going to look like Swiss cheese when you get done with it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, okay, I don't think we have enough holes. And I'm like, I know you don't have enough holes because
it wouldn't float.
You have a boat right now.
Yeah.
And you want to sink that boat.
Yeah.
And the only way to sink a boat is put a lot of holes in it.
Yep.
And so you need to drill a lot more holes. And he was like, cool, I'm going to do that. And then we're going to wait for one more rain, make sure it stays down, and then we'll patch concrete back. He goes, how much do I owe you? And I'm like, dude, this was like a 12-minute conversation. Yeah. Don't worry about it. And he's like, are you sure?
Next time you have plumbing issues, call me, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Call, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I answered a couple of other questions for him because he's, I said, I'm unfamiliar with South Carolina. Do you freeze there? And he goes, on occasion we do. And I said, okay, make sure they don't have a check valve on that sump pit. Cause it's outdoors.
Oh, it's outdoor sump pit. Okay. Yeah. You don't want that.
He's got like a driveway that runs to a door.
Oh.
And the water was coming in under the door. And so they put like a trough drain to a sump pit.
Which is a good idea.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, it works.
Can't have a...
I said, you don't want that check valve. And the pipe only comes out of the top of the pit and goes immediately through a wall. And he says it goes through that wall, goes down under my foundation in the building, and then goes out the other side of the foundation.
Yeah.
To daylight. And I'm like, cool, you don't need a check valve. You only have 3 feet of vertical head.
Yeah, that's nothing.
It's nothing. You don't need a check valve. And he was like, well, they're telling me I have to. And I'm like...
And they also had the sump pit floating out of your fucking hole. So let's, you know,
I explained, you know, where check valves are needed and where they're not and everything else. And I said, anytime in an outdoor application where it can freeze, we don't want check valves. And he's like, oh my gosh, this is so valuable. And he's like, let me pay you. And I'm like, don't even worry about it.
I didn't realize he was in South Carolina when I said, have him call me next time.
No, he's national.
Have him call...
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every $10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
John Castro's in South Carolina, I think.
I think he is.
Yeah.
Might
message him, hey, know some of our guys.
Yeah. I just said, you know, don't worry about it. You know, that's part of why we put the YouTube out there is we want to give all that value out there that we can, right? The information is free. The implementation will cost you. In other words, I'll tell you how to do it for free. But if you want me to do it for you, that's going to cost.
Yeah.
Right? And so... I ended up following the guy. He subscribed to our YouTube channel. I followed him on Instagram, Grizzly Wheeler Merch. The guy's name is Josh Wheeler.
What does he do?
They make merchandise for businesses. So like
you what do you mean?
Like a branded hat. You want a patch on a hat. You want a t-shirt. You want a logo on something.
Dude, I really want some zip-up Tradewinds. Like
we can hit him up.
Sport jacket. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I can totally hit him up. I'll probably send him a link to this show whenever it's all done. But the purpose of this whole, like that whole story was when you make it your job to lead with value, eventually you start triggering, how can I provide value? And you want to provide value faster than anything else.
Yeah. You're talking about training yourself is what you're talking about.
Training yourself to lead with value.
Yeah.
Provide
and
value.
The more often you do it, like you're saying, the more natural it comes to you.
So let me give you another example. And you don't even know this yet.
I don't. You're talking about me personally.
You don't
not
know
in
this
generalities.
Yet. So I'm going to share a link into our Tradewinds Facebook group today.
Today.
And I almost forgot to do this. Chris Zizzo.
Love me some Chris.
He came and spoke at our Tradewinds event. We talked about him on a recent show. He
Super
leads
nice
with
guy.
Value. His MO is, how can I provide value? Okay. So he's coming to the event. It's the day before the event. And he's asking, are you guys set up yet? If you're not, when I get in, do you need help setting up? Where do you need me? How can I help? What can I do? All of this stuff.
A lot
right?
of our Tradewinds guys were the same way.
Tradewinds guys the same way. Then Chris Zizzo shows up with a professional camera. And I don't know if you saw him.
Yeah, I did.
He's taking candid photos
from
all over the event.
Oh, yeah. He had that thing out like four times.
Yeah. And he texted me a link to a Google Drive with all the photos in it.
Oh, hell yeah.
And they're untouched. They're unedited as of now. But
sweet.
That's how Chris leads with value. A photo taken of you from the third person is a very powerful photo, especially if you're in business. It's one thing to take selfie photos. It's another to have photos taken from afar.
Especially when you're not unaware.
Yes.
Yes.
And so that's how Chris leads with value. He takes his camera everywhere he goes. He takes professional photos of everybody that he can. And then whoever organized the event, he'll drop them in a Google file and send them.
That's cool as shit.
And send it out there, right? It's kind of similar to, I don't have the videographer on staff anymore, but when I did, and he was riding along, he was instructed that if the customer has a dog, to take professional photos of the dog,
send them to
and
the
then
customer.
Edit them and touch them, like retouch them.
Yeah.
And then a couple of days later, get them to me and I will email them to the customer. And it's a surprise, added value. Here's professional photos of your dog. How many people get professional photos of their dog?
Too many.
No, nobody. Now, Nick, how many people have 14,000 photos of their animals in their phone that they do nothing with?
My wife.
Right? But when you have a professionally edited photo with the hazing just right and the shading just right and the shadows just
looks
right.
Looks really nice, yeah.
You'll print that thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And then you're going to tell people.
And then you're going to tell people, like, oh, that's a cool photo.
I had a plumber come over to the house. They were videoing some of the work they did. They took some photos and sent them to me for free.
Surprise. Value add, right? And so
we call that sales prep, but yes,
I mean,
value add.
I mean, it's after the fact, right? We didn't have to do it. They've already made the sale. We've already collected the money.
I meant sales prep for the next, for the people they tell.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And so ultimately leading with value is like the best way to go, right? Yeah. And if you'll notice, there seems to be this weird enigma. Bigger companies have found out to lead with value. But there seems to be this weird enigma where smaller companies are all butthurt and they try to act like every minute of their time is valuable and I'm not doing anything for you unless you're paying me for the minute.
Yeah.
And
let's be honest, it's because they are personally strained and every minute of their day counts. You know what I mean? They feel like it counts more because they don't have the time to do all of those extra things.
Right.
What they're unaware of is the guys that have built those big companies, they're in the same boat.
Right.
They're doing this. They're out of time just like you are.
Yeah.
Yes, they're paying to delegate all of those other things, but they're still out of time.
Yeah.
It just is. It is what it is.
Yeah. Everyone's time's limited.
Yeah. Right? They feel like that their time is more valuable than the time of those guys that own big companies.
Yeah.
Because they feel like, I know we talk about this all the time. They feel like those guys aren't having to work as much.
Yeah.
But it's not. We're all working the same.
Well,
get over it.
A lot of it's a psychological thing that we have to get over in our heads. We like to think that the more wealthy somebody is, the more out of touch with reality they are.
That's true, but we're not. But in our industry, even the guys that are the top, that's not true.
I tend to think it's the other way.
I'm talking celebrities. You know what I mean? Like all of those type of people, yes, they are out of touch of reality, but those are the 0.001%.
I don't know if they are. I think some of your extremists are. The ones that make headlines more often are, right?
Maybe.
Your Roseanne
maybe
Barr,
you're right.
Right? Like she's an extremist that's out of touch.
Yeah. Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie O'Donnell. That's who I meant. Rosie, not Roseanne Barr. Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah.
Extremist that's out of touch.
She's made two of our shows the last 2 weeks. Why is that?
I don't know. But like,
damn it, Mitch.
So like to give you a perception of like, and this is our natural instinct. Our natural instinct is to assume that somebody doesn't want to provide the value.
Yeah.
Our natural instinct is to assume somebody doesn't care about people.
Yeah. And when they do, that's why it means so much.
Right. So like, I'm sure you saw on the news overnight, the local Tesla dealership was the subject of a domestic terrorist attack.
No, I did not see that.
Lit Cybertrucks. The one on State Line in Kansas City. Lit Cybertrucks on fire.
Okay. No, I did not see that.
And this is so.
We just talked about idiots burning fucking Tesla's last show.
Yeah. And
God, people are dumb.
And this is all created by the media, right? So like,
ugh,
the
idiots.
Media has painted this portrait that Elon Musk doesn't care about people, and Elon Musk isn't aware of the value that the media is removing the value that Elon Musk provides to the nation. Okay. And so, yes,
or has spent 15 years providing.
Yeah. So for the last 3 months straight, you've watched the media pepper Elon Musk for Doge.
Oh yeah.
He's slashing jobs. He's cutting this. He's got access to this funding. He's moving here next. And all, like, they're painting a narrative that he's this evil person. Right. Yeah. So how bullshit is it that in the last 7 days, SpaceX rescued two astronauts from the International Space Station that NASA was unable to do? And yeah, SpaceX did it, and not one news story about it.
Yeah, there's been news stories, but not like you would think.
Right. But yet, every day in the news, it's Musk is coming after Medicare. Musk is coming after Medicaid. He's going after Social Security.
Which is not fucking true.
Right. Right. And so, but people jump on the bandwagon because people inherently want to believe that a billionaire doesn't care about them. And I think it's actually quite the opposite. I think the reason he's a billionaire is because he has more care about strangers than anybody else.
I don't know if I'd say that. I mean, I get the point. I do get it.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Like,
I do love how, I shouldn't say I love it, I hate this. How can you stand for saving the planet and wanting to get rid of carbon emissions and want to get rid of all of that stuff and then set a plastic car on fire?
Right.
And, like, watch all of that stuff float off into the air. Like,
right.
What the hell is a... If there was ever a definition of contradiction by someone's actions, that would be it. I want to save the planet. We're polluting it. It's horrible. Plastics are in everything. And then set two fucking Teslas on fire.
Right. Right.
What the hell is the matter with people?
I'm looking for... Okay,
what are
here
you
it
looking
is.
For?
The other 98% is a Facebook group, a social media group that is extremely left-wing.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm part of the other 98% and then I'm right wing. Okay, go ahead.
So, in other words, these people love to put out posts of
I know what you're talking about. My idiot cousins are on that. They share their shit all the time.
March 4th.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
March
4th,
they made a post. The media barely mentioned the mass protest today, and this is an anti-Elon protest.
Yeah.
Okay.
They barely mentioned it. So what?
Right. 4 days ago, today, hundreds of activists gathered at Trump Tower in New York City to demand justice for this person, okay?
Yeah, so the guy that got a visa, lied on his visa, and then was arrested because of he broke his commitment to get the visa? Yeah, okay.
So
ship his ass out of here.
So August 2nd of 2016, this post is still up.
No,
you can
you're
find
going
it today.
Fucking way back. Okay.
The other 98%, extremely left. They posted a picture that says, "This is Elon Musk. Elon wanted a new payment method on the internet, so he created PayPal. Elon wanted to drive an electric car, so he founded Tesla Motors. Elon wanted to go to space cheaper than anybody's ever done it before, and so he founded SpaceX. Elon wanted faster transportation, and so he's developing the Hyperloop."
Yeah.
"Elon doesn't tell everybody how bad the world is. Elon is changing the world. Be like Elon."
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
And it is proof positive that these people have grown to hate the very person they used to worship.
Oh, I know.
Okay?
Yeah. Not telling me nothing new.
And nothing about but facts in that.
None of those facts have changed.
None of them have.
That's the thing.
Right.
None of them have changed. He is not a different person. He's the same person. You just don't like what he's doing now.
Right.
Which, and we talked about this a little last show. I don't understand. No one wants big government. No one wants overreach. No one wants the earth to go to shit.
Right.
These people are trying to make a difference. And now because they are quote unquote on the right, it's a problem.
Right.
That person's heart is still the same. Their desires are still the same. The outcomes they want are still the same.
Right.
But somehow your opinion of them is different because they believe a couple of things that the orange man believes. I don't want to get into a whole political thing, but it makes no rational sense.
Right.
Which is what the left is.
Yeah.
The extreme left people, they make no rational sense.
No, no. And
if you could have a common sense meter and then go over to them and be like, beep, 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 it would just be like, nope, sorry, zero.
You're out.
Like, you're out. I don't know what to fucking tell you. You're a dumbass.
The logic with all of that, though, is people want to think you're going to take advantage of them. It's their predisposition that people want to take advantage of you. It's their predisposition that if you're more successful than me, you must have got there by unscrupulous means, and therefore I don't trust you. Okay? They love you on the come up. They hate you when you're at the top.
Yeah, which makes no sense. It's the same. It's the Taylor Swift effect.
Yes.
Too, the same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Just all billionaires are shit. Oh, except for Taylor.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Well, because she's on our side. What the fuck does that even mean?
Yeah.
It's the same exact thing.
Right.
It's crazy to me.
Yeah. And ultimately, like Taylor Swift's a good example, she leads with value.
Yeah.
You've seen how much she tips? She hands out hundies like it's nothing.
I know.
Right? And I mean, yeah. To her, they like that is...
To you and I, it's a dollar.
Yeah.
So if I walk into Tipsy Taco and I give everyone there a dollar, it doesn't mean as much.
Right.
But it is perspective.
Yeah.
Like for me, that dollar is the same as her giving out 100.
But like, because we're local here in Kansas City, we get to hear the stories. When she comes to watch Travis Kelce and the Chiefs play...
Oh, yeah.
She's tipping those sweet workers all hundreds.
Yeah.
Left and right, like crazy.
Yeah.
Right? And so... the media can try to portray her as, oh, she's just in it for the money and everything else. Like, oh yeah, in it for giving the sweet workers the money. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like, just, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's just fucking crazy, man.
But it's our natural, like as a consumer, it's our natural position to take that the wealthy people are trying to take advantage of us. And so if that's your natural position to take, then anytime you invite a salesperson into your house, your natural position is, this person's going to try to sell me shit I don't need. Right?
Yeah.
And so your walls are up. Your alerts are on right now waiting for that. If you lead with value, you disarm all of that. If you come in and you're like, oh, let me pull the cover off this tankless and grab my tools and I'm going to check a couple of things real quick and we'll see what's going wrong with it. And you didn't quote them an extra service charge or an extra diagnostic charge to do it. Now, obviously, there comes a point where if you're diagnosing this thing for 3 hours, you need to be charging for it.
Yeah, get your head out of your ass.
But
use common sense.
But don't be so pompous that you're going to throw out additional diagnostic charges just to remove the screws and look at it, right? Or another thing I've heard plumbers do is they, like, $89 service charge to show up, and they'll be like, well, it's $150 for me to relight your water heater and test it out. Is it?
No.
Or can we relight it and then see if it needs additional work?
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, come on.
Right. And the moment you start trying to nickel and dime the customer right out of the gate, their walls go up.
Yeah.
And so lead with value. Give them some free shit. In the old school ways of doing this, it was like grab their paper and bring it to the door. Grab their trash can and bring it up to their garage. Offer to fix the light bulb or adjust the storm door so it's not slamming or hanging open too long or whatever the case may be, right?
Yeah.
And those things still apply. But in a position where they know you're going to come in and sell them something, lead with value. Give them some free shit first.
Yeah.
That doesn't free shit to them that doesn't cost you anything, right? It doesn't cost you anything to remove an aerator and dump the debris out of an aerator. It literally doesn't cost you shit.
No.
Right?
It takes 5 minutes.
It costs you $3 to swap out somebody's toilet flapper.
Yeah.
Right?
Give it to them.
And so
charge the service fee, the $89.99, whatever the fuck you're charging.
Right.
And move on. It's $3.
Right.
I say that. I don't know.
And I'm not saying anymore. I'm not saying go give all flappers away for free. But what I'm saying is if the customer's bought a new faucet from you and you like while you're putting in the faucet, you heard the toilet run.
Yeah.
You look over there and you lift the lid and you find out that flapper is all shriveled up and waffled and not sealing anymore. Hey, Mrs. Jones, I got your faucet all squared away. We're leak-free, new stops, new P-trap, new supplies. Everything looks good. By the way, I also noticed your toilet was running, and so I just swapped the flapper out in it. No charge. This one's on me.
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is Field Pulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using Field Pulse. So if you'd like to check out Field Pulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to have you have a high water bill.
That
customer right there will give you a 5-star review.
Every time.
The other,
you trade it. If I came to Mitch and I said, Mitch, for every $10 you spend, I'll give you a Google review. How many are you buying? Mm-hmm. You're buying a fuckload, especially if it's 200. If you only have 200 and you're trying to get to 1,000,
right?
You're buying them,
right?
Do the extra thing and get the Google review.
And it doesn't cost you shit.
No.
And a lot of these guys get pompous and they'll be like, "Well, I had to walk to my truck. We had to pay for that. Everything else." Dude,
that's why you're a fat ass, because you don't want to take the 50 extra fucking steps.
Well, and outside of that, your inefficiency on the faucet made you walk to the truck one extra time.
Probably.
Because you didn't have, you walked out to your truck and grabbed a pair of pliers instead of grabbing your tool bag.
The guys that don't take their tool bag in.
Yeah. Ugh. They walk in one tool at a time.
I know. I hate it. Or they have three in their pocket and that's it. It's like, dude, pick up your bag.
Yeah.
How lazy you got to be, man.
But those guys that choose that level of laziness will then try to be like, well, my time's worth something. And if you want me to go to the truck and get a flapper, it's going to cost you.
Dude, it's 10 steps.
Your time wasn't worth anything when you stopped by the gas station and bought a donut on the way to that service call.
It's 2 in the afternoon. How many donuts you eating?
Right.
Don't worry about it.
Right.
Quick share hot dogs, man. They get me.
If you wrap your head around, like literally, when I go to a service call, when I go to anybody's house for a service call, the first things I'm eyeballing, what can I do for free? What can I do for free? And it's not like my MO is to do free shit.
No, but you've trained yourself to know that if I want to make a big sale here, if I want these people to call me back,
yeah,
I have to add value, and now that's your go-to.
Yeah.
You've trained yourself to do it.
Tipping culture. It's a hot topic, right? Everyone wants to flip that tablet around and you know, like the joke is, like, when you drop your kids off at school and they reach back into the window to say bye, Mom, and you flip that tablet around and say, What's your tip? You know? Or, I have a rule for me that I don't tip. If I have to stand up to order, I don't tip.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
So I don't tip at Subway. I don't tip at Chick-fil-A.
I don't either.
I don't tip at Chipotle. I don't tip at Pizza Hut.
Getting back to the value thing, if you were doing it before with no tip, you can't add a tip now for doing the same thing you were doing 2 years ago.
Right.
Stop.
Right.
You're not adding anything to my experience.
Especially at Subway. Like, we built this fucking sandwich together. You know what I mean?
I made the decisions. Your hands worked. That's it.
Right.
And that's good.
And just because you made it in front of me versus having some guy back there make it.
I'd rather get $2 off and you let me come back there and make my own goddamn sandwich.
Well, and outside of that, I don't tip the guy at McDonald's.
No.
Because he made my hamburger exactly how I wanted it, with no onions and extra ketchup or whatever.
No onions, extra ketchup. That's a weird...
Well, I'm just saying,
it's just a weird example that you went to.
You can customize the burger at McDonald's and you don't tip them. Why am I going to tip you?
I agree 100%, man.
You know what I mean? It's just a weird thing.
I love it.
And so, but it DoorDashers are the worst. Okay? DoorDashing is arguably... I don't want to throw them under the bus, but let's just say DoorDashers are like the lazy people. They're looking for that easy job where I can get into my car. I don't have to talk with people. I just work.
It's the Pizza Hut delivery guy.
Kind of. Yeah.
I worked at Pizza Hut.
And I mean, DoorDashing might be a great source of income, so I'm not knocking it as a source of income. But these people that are tip gating on DoorDash.
Yeah.
And they're not picking up orders because that's literally leading with value. The tip leads the value. right?
Yeah.
And here's a if you're wondering how important leading with value is, just watch your DoorDash orders when you don't tip and see how slow the shit comes. Because that person on the other end of the side, the DoorDasher, they're looking at how much value am I going to get and is it worth it, right?
Yeah.
That's your customer every day. And so if you don't lead with value up front, then your customer is going to be like, I ain't spending any money with this guy. I'm going to go with a Band-Aid repair, the bare minimum.
Fuck him.
This guy's not giving me a reason to feel good about spending more than the bare minimum, right? And
that's
so,
funny.
Like, when it comes to, like, serving, I like tipping big. I almost make the server give me amazing service so I can tip big.
If I'm the same way. Like, if I go to a nice restaurant, and this is just happenstance. When you go to a nice restaurant, you usually get immaculate service.
Right.
It's fantastic.
Right.
The waiters and waitresses have personality.
Yeah.
You know why?
They lead with value. They know what it takes to get the tip.
They lead with value, and they work at those restaurants because they are the best.
And
they don't work at fucking Chili's as a waitress. They work at the best restaurants. You know why? Because they know how to provide value. They know how to make you, like in that industry, it's making you feel good about the experience you're having.
Yep.
And they know how to push those buttons.
Yeah.
That's why they get big tips, and that's why they work there.
Right.
Same thing.
And in the home service industry, if you know how to deliver a good experience and you know how to make somebody feel good, like how many people are excited about calling a plumber?
No one.
No one, right?
No.
And so if you can take somebody that's not excited about having to call you and you can make them have a good experience with you, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah. The AC industry is the worst. Yeah. Those people, when they call you, are mad.
They got a baby and it's hot.
And it's 100 degrees in that house. They are mad as fuck. You have like...
Little do they know that baby actually likes how hot it is.
Yeah, they
house.
Love it. They don't care. Like when they call and you get them fixed, they're super grateful and excited. And this, why is that? Because they are miserable at that time.
Right.
You can add value. Oh, we can't get it fixed today. You roll in. We used to do this. You roll in there with a window unit for their living room that they can rent, quote unquote, for free. You can have this as soon as those parts come in or the change out happens, whatever. Just keep it.
Yep.
Do you got another one? Yeah, we do. We kept a warehouse full. How many would you like? Dude.
We'll get you by.
Those people will buy anything you are selling.
Yep.
Because you're providing value at that instance.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting perspective when, like, if you're going to lead with value, you have to go all in. Ironically, one of our recent shows was about going all in, but
it was about not going halfway in, but whatever.
But like, take it so far to where it's the thing on the forefront of your mind of how can I provide extra value here? What can I do? Yeah. Right. And I mean, it could be something as simple as your customer tells you their husband passed away last week. And you send a message to the office of sending them a card signed by everybody in the office. Sorry for your loss.
Yeah.
Little things like that that go above and beyond, right?
Yeah.
Our guys fill out thank you cards and they handwrite thank you cards to the customers. And those are all like leading with value and trailing with value too. Like,
I was going to say, trailing with value.
Yeah, they're going to get that thank you card, you know, 3-4 days after the service call.
But you're leading with value for the next time
they
call.
Right. And it lets them know that we weren't here just for your dollars. We were here for your experience and we hoped that you had an amazing one. Right. Yeah. And so all of those things add together to creating customers that will refer you to their family and friends. And it's the freest way to grow your business ever.
Yeah.
And if you are real staunch and real salesy with them and you don't lead with value, you won't get that. You'll be the used car salesman. But if you lead with value, then you can virtually charge whatever you want to charge. And they don't care because they'll never forget how you made them feel. And if you made them feel great over an experience that they were planning to feel bad in, now you've won a customer for life.
Yeah.
Right? You got a customer that has no hot water or flooded basement or something. And you show up there and you're like, take a load off. Don't worry. I know this is your first time doing this. I've dealt with this a ton. I got you. In the meantime.
I got you.
Anything else that we can do for you while we're here? Like, I'm going to go figure out why your basement's full of water. But if you need anything else, just let me know.
Yeah.
Right? And I mean, I used to work with a guy. I don't think any of my guys have done this yet. I used to work with a guy that he would call the customer, and this was at a place where they were not told to call the customers when they were headed that way. This guy went above and beyond on his own and just called his customers anyway. Hey, I know the office just called you and said I'm heading this way, but I wanted to call you too. I'm heading your way. Anything you need on my way? I'm going to drive by a Quick Trip. You need a snack or a drink?
I'm getting a hot dog. You want one too?
Yeah, you want a roller dog or whatever, right?
Man, steak and cheese taquito.
And most of the time they say no, right? Believe it or not, one lady was like a really old lady, couldn't drive. She was like, well, I just got a call that my prescription's ready at Walgreens. And he was like, well, I can pick it up on my way. Oh, you'd be a blessing.
Yeah.
And he picks up her prescription at Walgreens on the way.
Sold her 18 new toilets.
And then, well, I'm sure he got a big sale out
of it. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
He's leading with value, right? Like, if you can stop at a Quick Trip and get yourself a hot dog on the way to the call, you can at least stop and grab your customer something on the way to the call. You know what I mean? And we had an agreement with this guy that I was like, this is fucking cool. Save your receipts because I will reimburse you. Like, there's no reason you need to be spending your own money for this. You're making the company look really good. Let's do it, right?
Yeah.
And so,
that's you leading with value.
Yes.
To your employees.
To my employees,
and
right.
I wanted to say this a little bit earlier, but like, this isn't just to customers or making sales. If you're in a B&I group and you go on Thursday mornings and they don't provide breakfast, buy donuts.
Right.
Provide value to those that are in the B&I group.
Yeah.
Give them that little bit of extra, I'm going to remember Smedley Plumbing. He bought us donuts. Like, they may not like donuts. They may not eat any donuts. But the fact that you made the effort to go out of your way to provide them to the other people, they're going to remember that.
Yeah.
When you go and have an interview with a quote-unquote maybe prospective employee, and you say, hey, let's get lunch today. Mm-hmm. And you just buy them lunch. You're providing value to that employee that may not even be one of your employees.
Right.
When you meet realtors for lunch, I know you do this a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, you just want to be inside of their circle. Can I buy you lunch today?
Right.
It costs you $12 or $15.
Right.
You're providing value. If you can provide value in every aspect of your business, not just your clients or people you're trying to sell bullshit to, it comes through.
Yeah.
Comes through in every aspect of your business if you make the effort to provide extra value.
Right, right. And it doesn't stop at just the trade you do, right?
No, it doesn't.
Changing light bulbs for the elderly that doesn't need to be getting on chairs or ladders. Huge, right? And you got to ask them flat out, like, hey, I'm just going to be real with you.
It's dark in here.
you look like you have no business being on a ladder, and I'm a young, able-bodied person. Do you got any light bulbs that need changed?
Yeah.
If you got light bulbs that need changed and you have the new ones here, like, I'll put them in for you, no charge.
Yeah.
And it's just little thing really, how long does it take, right? And meanwhile, these guys will burn 20 minutes on a smoke break and ignore that time and then act like an extra 7 minutes changing somebody's light bulb puts them out. You know what I mean?
Is that your smoke alarm?
Yeah.
Like, do you want me to change the batteries in your smoke alarm? Like, same thing. Look, the old lady orders the dog food from Chewy.com and it's out at the curb and it's 50 pounds. She can't pick it up and take it in her house.
Yeah, take it in there. Carry
it. Don't be a lazy fuck.
Right.
Pick it up.
Right.
Come on.
All of those things help, and they're not schemey sales tactics to get them to buy. It's like the person you want to become.
It's not a
manipulation tactic. It's a, wow, that person's a genuinely nice person.
It's being a good person.
Yeah.
We talk about, we wish that it would go back to that. Be part of the change.
Right.
Be a good person. If you're a good person in this world of bullshit, you will just automatically make more sales.
Right.
Like, it's so stupid to say that we say it that way, but it's the fucking truth now.
That Elon post.
Yeah. Right?
He wanted a new way to pay online, so he created PayPal.
Yeah.
I wanted customers to experience a home service visit like they've never experienced before. So I delivered them a home service experience like they've never delivered before. Like, you can't just sit there and point fingers and say other people should do this. Like, you got to do it too.
Yeah.
You know? And so any way you can lead with value, do it. But my boat dealer, I got a great relationship with the guy that I bought my boat from, right?
Oh, God, I would think so.
Well, I've had to visit him a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, you spent that money and the boat was fucked up. Yeah. I would hope so.
Yeah, no fault of his own. But
no, of course, he didn't build a goddamn boat.
Right,
understood.
But like, he emailed me an invoice because we went and got one of the services done, and he emailed me an invoice for it. And I'm like, this invoice looks like shit. And, you know, like... it looks trashy. There's no pictures in it. There's places for pictures and all this stuff.
You're like, hey, dude, what the fuck,
man? So I hit him up and I'm like, hey, Cody, like, your invoicing system, it could use some work. Like, from a guy who prides himself on delivering a really good customer experience.
Like, bro, this sucks.
Like, it sucks. Come on. He immediately said, dude, I know. I just don't know how to fix it. And I'm like, when I come pick up my boat, I'll sit down with you and I'll teach you how to get a lot of Google reviews with your invoicing system and we'll clean it up and make it look great. And he's like, dude, that'd be awesome.
What right? do they use?
QuickBooks is ultimately how their invoices come out. But
QuickBooks, I mean, it doesn't look super fancy, but it doesn't look like shit.
He got a whole new CRM.
Oh, nice.
So in other words, we opened a can of worms, opened a tip of the the iceberg.
Right now, that guy's in his office. This fucking Mitch is costing me.
I didn't sell him anything. I was just like,
he made me buy the CRM. Damn it.
Yeah, no, I was just talking about like the value that you can leave after the fact with the way the review and the invoice looks and the Google reviews and all that stuff. And here he is a year later, and now he's got a whole new CRM because he understands the value. And it all started with me caring about him and his customers. It didn't pay me anything to tell him his invoice looks like shit.
No.
And it's not about me being on a high horse either. It's
maybe a little.
No. It's seriously like, Cody, I like you. I hope you're successful. I want you to sell more boats. And I think if you tweak this little bit.
Yeah, you may sell some more boats, man.
This is.
And that's a long play too.
It is.
Of, you know, everything we do is professional to grow the business long term.
Yeah.
Like, that's what that is.
Well, and this is also like putting the money where the mouth is, right? And walking the walk.
Yeah.
And it would be one thing if I only took this stance in my own company, but like, it should show the level of respect I have for Cody to be willing to put forth the time to even share that with him.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like I'm just like, your invoices look like shit, deuces, and peace out.
Yeah.
Like, right.
Can I help you?
That's just an insult.
Yeah.
I'm not wanting to insult the guy. I'm wanting to clarify an issue. Your invoices look bad. And I think I have a solution. Never bring up a problem without a proposed solution. Right. And so your invoices look bad. I think I have a solution. Let's sit down and chat about it.
Yeah. Tradewinds is the same way. Like, the guys that roll out, like, we know that Tradewinds isn't forever. Right.
Right.
When they leave, I'll call them. Hey, man, what do you think we could do differently?
Yeah.
That would help us out. And those guys are value providers. They know, they're business owners. They're like, yeah, dude, you know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see this, 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 and this. And then we try. We're like, okay, that we can't do. That we, you know what? We might be able to change that. We might be able to do that. And we take all of that, like, this is another topic, but we take that constructive criticism that's going to help your business and be like, and run with it.
Right.
Yes, thank you. Let's roll. And like you were saying with Cody, what his name was? He's probably grateful.
Yeah.
Like, this stuff looks great. You're right. This is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's way more professional.
Right. And keep in mind, he's all thinking that I'm going to be a disgruntled customer because of all the problems I had with my boat. Right.
And you're not.
So he's kind of blown away of like, wow, this guy had all these problems and he's still wanting to help.
Well, it's because they taken care of him too.
Well, you've taken care of him well.
Yeah.
And we're all human. Like, shit's going to happen.
Yeah. How do you handle the situation when something bad happens? That's what dictates your character.
Right, right. Bad shit's going to happen.
Yeah.
Even the best laid plans, like, it's still going to happen, right?
Yeah.
And so it's no different than in a restaurant. How many people give a server a bad tip because their food was late? Like, it's the server's fault.
Well, if they didn't put the order in, yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
But, yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. And, I mean, I had an experience at a restaurant. Ironically, we were asked to leave the restaurant.
Of course you were.
No, this blew me away.
No, because things happen to you. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Like, dude, the shit, you're a magnet, man.
Bam. So this was at Summit Grill.
Yelling in my mind.
Nice place here.
I love Summit Grill.
I love them too.
Same thing as Third Street Social. Menu's just a touch different.
So we go there with our neighbors across the street.
When was this?
A month and a half, 2 months ago.
Really?
So we go there with our neighbors across the street, and the server takes forever to even come and bring us waters, right?
Were they busy or no?
They were. I mean, it was a Saturday night, so they were busy.
Okay, pretty busy. Okay.
But I mean, waters.
I just want some perspective. That's all.
Like,
give it to me. What do you got?
Okay, we're not starting out on the right foot. We got, like, it took like 15 minutes to get waters. Okay?
Oh, that's bad.
And
I don't want waters. I want them to come to my table quickly and be like, what do you want to drink?
Right. Yeah. And so then they scooted out of the way and they didn't even ask for our drink orders yet.
Oh,
and so then 5 or 10 minutes later, so now we're there for 20 minutes and we're just now getting drink orders.
I leave.
Yeah.
I leave.
So
I don't stick around.
So it was a while, like long story short, an hour and 20 minutes in, she comes back to our table and she says, I'm going to take your all's order again.
You're there an hour and a half?
We're there an hour and 20 and we still haven't received our food.
She fucked up your order?
Yeah. And so we were like, you've got to be kidding me.
Did you look at your watch?
And we weren't rude. Oh,
they're here for an hour and 20 minutes. Yeah. What the fuck, bitch?
We weren't rude. We weren't anything. We were like, this is
unacceptable.
Unacceptable. Like, yeah. Like this, oh,
that's
like,
bad,
you
man.
Know, I didn't want to be 3 hours here, you know? And so we were like,
now I will say if they're like apologetic, I fucked up. I'm taking care of your drinks. I'm going to get you more drinks right now. Those are also going to be on me. Right. I'm going to get your food. I'm so sorry.
They weren't that way.
And we're going to turn this into a great experience.
Yeah, they weren't that way at all. They were like, well, you know, we're busy and stuff happens. And it's like, oh, I get it, but
fuck you.
I don't pay this much money for food for stuff to happen.
Yeah, if you go to Marina 27, that don't happen.
Right. So we were like, do you by chance, can you have a manager come over? And this is where they kind of went wrong. And I'm not trying to bash Stomach Grill. The manager comes over, and the manager is literally like, what more do you want? Like, we gave you free drinks.
And oh, they did give you free drinks.
They comped our drinks. And at this point, it had only been one round of drinks and empty glasses with ice.
An hour and 20 minutes. Yeah. You got waters, one round of drinks. Why did you even stay?
They were supposed to be bringing another round, and we were like, I don't think you're handling this the right way, and I'm not asking for you to be wildly apologetic, but a little apologetic.
I don't, you're like, so much.
When the manager comes over and says, what more do you want? We comped your drinks and we're getting your food out. It's like, hold on. And so
I leave and I go down to Tiff and Jay's.
So our neighbor was a little more vocal than me. He was like, well, fuck this. I'm out of here.
Yeah, I'd have left too.
And so then the manager's like, sir, you can leave. We don't need cussing right now.
I'd have looked him dead in the eye and been like, you can fuck off.
He was like, it's an hour and 20 minutes and I've had one beer. I think cuss words are the least of our concerns. And so he leaves.
Yeah, I'd have loaded the fuck out of there.
I stay late, and I'm like, so you're a manager, right? And she goes, yeah. And I said, okay, you don't know me from anybody, and I'm not going to try to act like, you know, don't you know who I am or anything else. But I do have an affinity for delivering an amazing customer experience, and you guys are dropping the ball royally here. And she was just like, well, I don't know what to say. Like, we've done everything we can. We're busy. The kitchen's way behind. This isn't our fault.
Well, first off,
it is your fault.
First off, it is. Yeah. And it usually rolls on the kitchen manager and the front of house manager.
Yeah.
So it's on you and whoever that other person is.
Yeah.
And you are failing miserably.
And I said, it is your fault because we came here with the sole purpose to have a good experience and buy food from
you. That's the only reason people go to those nice restaurants. Yeah. Like, I can eat anywhere.
Yeah.
When I want to have an upscale meal and upscale service, I go to places like these.
Yeah.
And I'm okay spending $300.
Yeah.
But like, if I'm going to come here and get shit on.
Yeah.
Like, why? Fuck you.
It's
not my privilege to come here.
I just looked at her and I said, I'm really upset to hear that you're on the management team and you're refusing to take accountability for your failures.
Yeah.
Nobody's saying you can't have failures, but you need to own up to them and you need to make it right.
Man, we're on accountability kick lately.
Yeah. And I said, I'll probably be reaching out to your general manager later this week to have a conversation with him. Not because I want to, and not because I want to rub this out or like make this, you know what I mean?
Bad choice of words, but
you know what I mean? Drag this out, rub this in.
There you go. There you go.
But
okay.
Not because I want to do that, but because like I've had nothing but amazing experiences up until tonight at Summit Grill.
Yeah, and I want to keep coming here.
I know tonight's a fluke deal because nothing like this has ever happened before. And I'm willing to bet that if I have a conversation with the GM, this isn't going to be the first time that he's had this kind of conversation with a customer.
About you.
About how the kitchen was ran and how the restaurant was ran under your leadership.
Yeah.
And so number one rule in leadership is all failures point back to you. You need to learn how to take accountability for your actions. And she just looks at me and she blinks and she says, you're free to leave. And essentially, they
free to leave.
Well, this was
prison, like, bitch. I can get up and leave anytime I want.
This was like the whole "you can't quit" or "you can't fire me, I quit" kind of thing. Like, you can't leave. I'm kicking you out.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not saying that in my late 20s I didn't maybe have something like this happen to me, and then go to the bar at a busy restaurant, and then run up a tab, and then leave. But I'm saying maybe those things happen when you're
Well, now they get your card on file, so you can't do that, but still.
Dude, not everywhere.
Not everywhere.
And not nice restaurants.
Yeah.
Because they just assume that everyone stand up.
Yep.
So maybe I had four or five Blantons and left.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just, you know.
But even there, happens. There is a prime opportunity right there for the restaurant manager to come out and be like, "Hey, look, this didn't go the way it should. We know you guys have had poor service. There's a lot of reasons for it. We're responsible for all of them."
Did you call the GM later?
No, I didn't.
You should.
I should, but I
didn't. This is the problem. And I'm not a crybaby whiny bitch about stuff like this. I'm not. The problem is when that happens a lot, those restaurants fold.
Yeah.
And I like those places.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's why good restaurants fold, because of bad management and bad managers.
Yeah.
And it's like when they fold up, I can't go there anymore.
Right.
And
right.
It sucks.
Yeah.
You know?
No, like, I had full intentions to, but our work week got crazy busy.
Oh.
And it just slipped my mind.
You're just too damn busy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad fucking Jared gets invited to dinner and no one ever fucking invites me.
Hey, I went out to dinner with you more recently than him.
When did we go out? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Only because Dan was in town.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, speaking of, why we're on the show and just talking, Tristan's going to come in town too.
Oh, kick ass.
He called me, I think it was last week, and we just talked about it a little. I said, "Dude,
sweet.
Free up your schedule. Let's go, man.
Let's do it.
T Rizzle in the house. That'd be fantastic." I told him, I said, "If you come by yourself, dude, you can stay with me. I don't give a fuck."
Yeah. But like even in that restaurant's case where they, like, the ball got royally dropped, and it's not a consumer's fault there, right? Like, I came in, I followed your process, I checked in with the hostess, you chose to put me at this table, you chose to give me this server, you chose to hand me a menu with drink options on it.
That I ordered
from the menu.
Yeah.
And then all the balls started dropping on your end, right?
Yeah.
That's a prime example for an accountable manager in any job, not only restaurants, but
you drunk, gee, you got robbed. Yeah,
not in any role or job.
That's better.
Not only restaurants, but home service and everything else, to recognize, agreed, hey, we dropped the ball there, and I'm gonna make it right. Right. Yeah. I'm gonna comp your meal. I'm gonna give you a coupon or a gift card to come back again. My treat, or something. Right. I'm gonna take your meal 50% off. I'm gonna cover all your drinks. And I'm going to give you $100 gift card to come back here and let us show you how it should be.
Yeah.
And
what happens when someone treats you like that?
You're going to go back.
You immediately tell someone.
Yeah.
Dude, we went up there and it fucking sucked, but they did this.
They made it right. Yeah.
And the food, after we got our food, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
The drinks were great. We had a great time. Yeah, it took us longer.
Shit happens.
They made it right.
Yeah, shit happens.
People understand. It's amazing to me. People understand when shit gets fucked up.
Right.
And they are very sympathetic because they know, because their job sucks too.
Yeah.
But the problem is, if you don't make it right and you make an ass of yourself, and it looks bad.
Yeah.
And people don't come back.
Well, and that's how people
don't call Smedley Plumbing, because, you know, when the employee was an asshole after he flooded their house.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But if the company takes care of it, they still give good referrals.
Right.
You know?
Right. So, I think we've beat this horse to death on leading with value. If you have any questions on leading with value, if you're looking for ideas.
And the show's over.
Yeah. You know, our links to contact us are in the description of this show. If you have a sales guy that's struggling with leading with value and he's struggling with his close rate and his average ticket, send him a link to this show. If you yourself is struggling, listen to this show again. And like, start walking into houses with the idea that you are going to find ways to deliver massive value. And sometimes customers have to pay for it. Sometimes it's free. But don't nickel and dime your customers, and do what's right when it's right. And you'll see all of a sudden sales start coming on the board really fast. So,
agreed, buddy.
Until next week, guys, we will see you later.
See you.